Hey, let's do something together right now for a moment. Let's all just breathe in and take a deep breath. Let it go. Take a load off. You are almost there. Christmas is in 3 days. And I know many of you, like, you deserve this moment right now. You deserve to take a load off, to take a deep breath. I mean, you've had the parties for hosting and marshmallows for toasting and the caroling out in the snow, and you've done all the things. And what is actually, I was thinking about, what is marshmallowing, what does it have to do with Christmas? Like, why do we make that a big deal, that song? Marshmallows for toasting? Okay, side point. Like, hey, this Christmas season, like, you've gone and got the packages, you've planned out the parties, you've done all the things. Maybe there's a few things left to do. Like most of you men, you still have to shop, but the rest of the ladies, you guys are all done shopping, right? That's typically the way it works. And you deserve a break. You deserve a round of applause. You've got Christmas ready. I would encourage you, just relax. Relax and wait for Christmas. Now, I know you hear those two things, relax and wait, and you're like, those two things don't go together, right? Relax and wait, those are not two words that we use in common. You know, we live in the 21st century, right? And we have so much technology and so much information at our fingertips that we don't have to wait very long for anything, right? I mean, we have, on the internet, we have the power of information in our fingertips through our stinking cell phones. Anything we want to know, ChatGPT will tell you what you want to know, right? We have technology that makes everything faster and easier. Like now, you don't even have to go to the grocery store to grocery shop. All you do is you click a couple buttons on your phone and they will deliver it to your house. That is the world that we live in, right? We have microwaves. We have all sorts of things. In fact, I remember this. It's funny when my kids who grew up with, I don't know what our internet speeds are now, but my kids complain, "Dad, the internet's so slow." And I'm like, you don't even know, kids. Like, we used to have to grab the phone and dial into a phone number and wait for like 45 seconds for the phone to connect. And then we'd load a website, and it would take 3.5 minutes to load the website, right? You kids know nothing about slow internet. Technology is supposed to make things faster. But I was thinking about this. I was thinking, like, you know those places that are horrible to wait, right? Places that are horrible to wait. We all have those places. Like when you're in a rush somewhere and you get a stoplight, like that stoplight is the slowest stoplight ever. It is terrible. You're like, oh, I gotta go. But the stoplight still is red. Thinking about this, like the ladies' restroom at any sporting event, right? What goes on in that bathroom? Maybe we don't wanna know, but like, why is that such a big deal to wait at the ladies' restroom? Doctor's office. Dentist office, right? Dr. Clark, somewhere around here. That's the worst place to wait. Show up and make you wait for half an hour. How about the lines at Disneyland, right? Best place to wait, the lines at Disneyland. You know, it's interesting. We have all this technology, but the technology has not made any of those places that we wait any better. And here we are a couple days before Christmas. And most of us were like, oh, I'm ready. Some of us are like, I can't wait. The waiting is hard. The kids see the gifts under the tree and they're like, I cannot wait. We're in a series this December that we're calling Holy Moments, where we are looking at the very first Christmas and looking at some of these special holy moments that make the Christmas story unique and special for us today. And we've looked at a couple different characters. Today, we're looking at a couple characters they're not often talked about in the Christmas story. There's no carols written about them. There's no Christmas cards or ornaments depicting their image. Like, they're kind of obsolete characters. Yet, their story has so much relevance for us today. It's a story of waiting. See, we love the joy of the Christmas season. We love the celebration, the parties, the excitement, the energy, the love, the joy, all those things. They're all so big at Christmas, but I also have to recognize that there are some of us in this room that, despite all the happiness going around us, we're not quite there. We might find ourselves in a posture of waiting, where this Christmas, it just feels a little bit dark. Maybe it's a time of confusion. Maybe it's a time where we're just feeling a little bit abandoned because we're waiting. We're waiting on something and it just hasn't come, right? Some of us, we are longing for something to be set right. We're waiting for things to be made right. We're a victim and we're waiting for justice. Some of us, our life has not turned out the way that we anticipated. We had plans for what life was going to look like, and we're like, this has not turned out the way I thought it was going to. And we're waiting for things to get better. We're waiting for those needs to be fulfilled. Some of us, we're waiting for our family to get put back together. There's been brokenness, separation, conflict, and we're waiting. God, would you bring this family back together? Some of us, we're waiting for a family. And I've been waiting for a spouse, a child. Some of us, we are grieving the death of someone that was important to us. Some of us, we're waiting for the prodigal that has not yet returned. Some of us are simply in a hard season of life, and we're like, I just can't wait to get to the next season. I just want to get fast forward a year, fast forward a couple years, fast forward a couple months. I just need to get through this season to the next one. And when we're waiting, what do? We pray. We pray. God, would you get me there? We get good advice from some people. We pray a little bit more. And some of us are finding ourselves today and things have not gotten better. We are still waiting. And the story of Simeon and Anna that Jaylene read for us this morning shows us that God sees you when you're waiting. God has not forgotten you. In fact, waiting, when you're in that season of waiting, waiting doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong. It is an essential part of the Christian life. I mean, you see this consistently throughout Scripture. Lamentations chapter 3, it says, the Lord is good to those who wait on him. Isaiah 30 says, blessed are those who wait for him. Isaiah 49 says, those who wait for me will not be put to shame. There's a part of this Christian life that involves waiting. In fact, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. He said, the Advent season is a season of waiting. But actually, the whole life is waiting on the Advent season. That is a season of waiting for the last Advent, for the time when there will be a new heaven, a new earth, and all things will be put right. See, ultimately, what we're going to see today is in this story is that those who wait on the Lord will not be disappointed. Those who wait on the Lord will not be disappointed. We're going to pick up in Luke chapter 2. Our text about Simeon and Anna, it takes place about 6 weeks after the birth of Jesus, all right? So Jesus, you know, he's got his first smile in, probably saying, I don't know, Dada or Abba Father, I don't know what he's saying. He's doing a little things that newborns do. And in the custom of that day is when you had this newborn baby, you would take him to the temple and you'd present him at the temple. And so that's where our text picks up. And we're going to be introduced to these two characters, Simeon and Anna. Here's what it says about Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verses 25. It says, this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. In verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. See, this guy Simeon, he had this revelation from God, this vision from God, that he would see the Messiah, he would see the Savior before he died. And then we're introduced to Anna in verse 36. About Anna, it says that she was a prophetess named Anna, and she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was married, and then lived as a widow until she was 84 years. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting day and night. All right, here's what we know about Simeon and Anna. Two things we know about them. Number one, they're old, all right? Anna had been married for 7 years. She'd been a widow for over 84 years. So you add that together, she's probably close to 100 years old, right? And Simeon, we aren't told how old he is, but the text implies like he is advanced in age, right? He's got some years behind him. So we know they're old. We also know that Simeon and Anna are both waiting. We don't know how long they've been waiting, but based on their age, the assumption is they've been waiting for a long time. In fact, we talked about this last week. We talked about how between the Old and the New Testament, The Old Testament ends, and before the New Testament begins, there's this period about 400 years where God was silent. There had been no new visions. God had not spoken to anybody. There had been this time of silence. And in the Old Testament, there's this promise of a Savior, and then they're waiting for these 400 years where there's silence and silence and silence. And it's not just this silence that was hard for the people of God. They had nearly 700 years that they were subject to foreign oppression, right? That they weren't in control of their own country. First, it was the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and then it was the Persians, and then it was the Greeks, and then it was the Romans. And so here you have the people of God who have been in oppression for 700 years, who have this silence from God for 400 years, and they're waiting. They're waiting on the Savior. They're waiting for someone who's going to come and all make things right. And Simeon and Anna are a picture of the people that are waiting on God. Here's the thing. Sometimes we look at faith, and we think faith is kind of like that magic little pill. You know, we just pop the pill. We just put a little bit of faith, and then all of a sudden, we get that instant fulfillment, that instant satisfaction. We pray to God, and we think God's going to answer our prayer just like this. Kind of like God's just a genie in a bottle. Well, if I do A, God, you're going to do B, so let's go for it. And I'll be honest, sometimes God does that. Sometimes God does it miraculous. Sometimes God can heal in a minute, in a moment. Sometimes God redeems instantaneously. That is absolutely true. And I want you to believe that in an instant, God can transform any situation that we thought was impossible. I want you to believe that God can do that in a moment, in an instant. But you see, there's something I've learned in my parenting. We've got five kids. And I remember when one of the kids was in elementary school, they come home and they're like, Dad, there's this big bully. And you know, they're picking on me. They're throwing stuff at me. They're kicking me. They're pushing me. And I can't do anything about it. And it makes me cry. And I'm like, what's his name, buddy? And he goes, well, her name. Now, I will admit, there's a part of me that's like, I could totally solve this situation. Like, I could be that parent. I could go to the school. I could go to the teacher. I could go to the principal and say, hey, this bully is causing problems with my son. Kick him out of the class. Get him, move him, do something else. I could probably show up to school. I could probably beat the little girl up, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. But as a parent, me stepping in and solving this problem wasn't what was best for my son. Instead, I wanted him to learn, hey, here's how you navigate conflict. Here's how you navigate relationships. Here's how you navigate difficult people. Because ultimately, I want to make my son stronger. I want him to grow. Ultimately, I'm more concerned about who he is becoming and not just solving every problem that he has and trying simply to make life easy. Sometimes, this is true for all of us, sometimes we go through some hard stuff rather than having an instantaneous solution. We go through the hard stuff because we grow, become better, become change. Listen, you need to know that God loves you. And because God loves you, he doesn't immediately solve every problem we have. Because God is more concerned about who you are becoming and what he is doing in you rather than just solving every problem that comes into your life. God's desire is that we would become more like him. And sometimes that means we have to live in this tension of difficulty. We have to live in this tension of waiting for things to happen. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't keep his promises. I mean, all of God's promises are yes and amen. All of God's promises come true. In fact, this is what the Christmas story is all about. We have all these Old Testament prophecies. The Messiah is going to come. The Messiah is going to set all things right. The Messiah is going to save the people. And we have all these prophecies in the Old Testament. The Messiah is going to be born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem. There'll be a star. And guess what? As Christmas unfolds, we see that God is faithful. God keeps his promises, every one of them. His promises are true. And so, listen, I don't know how many of you are in that season of waiting right now, for whatever it is in your life. I want you to know that the story of Simeon and Anna, they should give you hope. because God keeps his promises. And when you wait on him, you will not be disappointed. In fact, the story of Simeon and Anna, they're going to teach us how to wait well. Three things on how to wait well. Number one, you wait well by having an expectant faith that God keeps his promises. See, like Simeon and Anna, like they don't have this blind hope. It's not like this, oh God, maybe, someday, possibly, just, you know, someday, God, would you send them a, no, they have this expect. I mean, that would be like a Patriots fan. Like, oh, someday we're going to be relevant again, right? Someday. Cowboys fan, I don't know, you throw anyone else in there, right? Someday, hopefully, maybe, you know, someday we'll be relevant. No, Simeon and Anna, they're not waiting on some random wish that's going to fulfill their own desires. No, they are waiting on the promises of God. They're waiting for God to fulfill what God had promised for them to do. Again, scriptures are full of these promises. And God is faithful. God will keep his promises. Here's the thing, though. God plays according to his own timing. He doesn't play according to our timing. But when we know that God keeps his promises, and when we begin to hope and wait for God's promises, that changes from this hopeful, maybe someday the Patriots will be relevant, to an expectant faith, an expectant waiting, knowing this isn't just, oh, maybe someday, hopefully, I don't know, maybe, to know God is going to do this because he has promised. So here's a question you need to ask yourself this morning. Are you waiting for the right things? Are you waiting for the right things? Oh, man, I'm waiting for me to get $1 million just to win the lottery. Like, if I could just get that trip to Hawaii and just relax. Man, if I could just get the spouse and the child to complete me, then I'd be satisfied and nothing would be wrong in my life. Said every husband ever, right? Those are good things. But there's a difference between hoping for those things and putting your waiting and your hope in the promises of God. Because when you're waiting on the promises of God, it turns your wishful thinking into an expectant faith, knowing that God keeps his promises and he is faithful to that. Which means when you're struggling financially, man, the solution is not to win the lottery. No, when you're struggling financially, you wait for this promise where God says in Philippians chapter 4 that God will supply every need of yours according to his glorious riches. Yeah, I'm waiting on God to provide in that way. When you're tired and exhausted, man, I don't know what to do. I need a break. Matthew 11, Jesus says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is a promise of God. When we're waiting for a spouse or a child, we feel like, man, if I would just get that, that would complete me and I'd be satisfied. Again, John, the Gospel of John, Jesus says, everyone who drinks from this well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I give will never thirst again. You hear that promise? You want to be satisfied? It's satisfaction from him. We feel like a failure. We feel like, man, I'm never going to be enough. The promise of God in Philippians 1 says, he who began a good work in you will see it to completion. See, when we take our hope and we put our hope on these promises, it's not just wishful. Oh, man, someday, hopefully, I don't know, maybe. It's an expectant faith. God, I believe you're going to do this because you said you are, and you are faithful to keep your promises. Waiting well is an expectant faith. Number two, waiting well involves some personal action and some preparation. I mean, here's Simeon and Anna. They're waiting. And here's what it says about them while they're waiting. Verse 25, Simeon was a righteous and a devout man. Verse 38, it says, Anna did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night. You know what they're not doing? They're not sitting at home on their couch twiddling their thumbs. Oh, man, hopefully, I can't wait for this to happen. God, you're going to keep your promises, and I'm going to sit on my couch and watch Netflix, whatever it happens to be. Now, they're preparing themselves. They're focusing on worshiping the Lord. They're preparing their hearts to receive. And guess what? They're showing up at the place that God actually might reveal the Savior, the temple of all places, right? See, here's the deal. Waiting. Sometimes we feel like waiting is just wasted time. Waiting is not wasted time. Waiting is often when God does a phenomenal work in us. See, here's the thing. So many of us, we believe God's word. Oh, yeah, God, I believe you're going to do what you say you're going to do. I believe it. But the real test is, do I actually live on it? Do you actually do anything about it? In fact, I was thinking about this about many years ago. Sam and I, we felt God calling us to ministry. Ah, man, we're going to give you a ministry role, and you're going to be able to serve the kingdom in that way. And I remember there was this period about 2 years where it's like, all right, God, you called us to this thing. This is what you said you're going to do. And so you know what we did? We did everything possible. I started teaching in children's church. The church had a visitation ministry. I hated it. It was weird. I even had to go door knocking. It was terrible. I felt like a Mormon. It was weird. I hated it. I did everything I could. I took Bible classes. They had a senior Bible, like a senior citizen Bible study on Thursdays. And I'm like, these guys are all smarter than me. But I showed up and started teaching the senior citizens Bible study. I started meeting with a mentor. I taught an adult Sunday school class. Again, one of those intimidating things. We started a young adults small group. Started serving in Awana. It was one of those things where I'm like, God, like you've called me to this. You've said this is what I want for you. And I'm going to start taking every opportunity I can to be prepared for that. And I'll be honest, like God did so much work in me. That season, God did more in my own heart and my own life than any other season of my life. It was a time of preparation. God said, here's what I have for you. And I said, all right, God, I'm going to step in. I'm going to prepare for it. What is it you're waiting for? You waiting for the job? That's awesome. Are you making yourself job ready? Are you growing in your skills and your experience? Or are you playing video games till 4 a.m? You want good grades. You want to get into a good college. The question is, are you studying? Or are you staying up late at night scrolling through Instagram and all those other social media things that you do? You waiting for God to heal your marriage? That's awesome. How are you preparing for that? Are you working on your own faults? Are you working on becoming more forgiving? You waiting for a spouse? Are you actually trying to become an attractive candidate? A godly person? A loving person? A sacrificial person? Oh, we're waiting for our kids to be strong in the faith. And how are you preparing for that? What are you doing to cultivate that? Because sure, we might believe, God, I believe you can do those things. Are you taking steps to prepare for that? To take action towards that? Number three, Simeon and Anna teach us that waiting well requires some level of obedience. Notice what it says about them. Verse 27, he came in the spirit into the temple when his parents brought the child Jesus in. And he took him in his arms and he blessed him. See, he obeyed the Spirit's leading to go to the temple at exactly the same time that his parents brought baby Jesus in. In verse 38, it says, Anna, coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God. The Spirit prompts and leads both of them to obey. And they both happen to be at the temple at the exact time that Jesus is brought in. Again, we don't know how long they've been waiting. Maybe they've been waiting for decades. And they happen to feel the Lord's prompting, and they obey, and they happen to be in the temple at the exact time that Jesus is brought in. And they got to see this promise fulfilled. In fact, this is probably the theme that we've hit on multiple times as we've studied the Christmas story. This idea of obedience. Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the Magi and all these people. Listen, God prompts them. The Holy Spirit leads them. Hey, here's what I want you to do. And you know what they don't do? They don't debate it. They don't come up with excuses. They don't hesitate. They don't argue. They simply obey. And because he obeyed, They got to see the remarkable, the Savior born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger. They got to be a part of this first Christmas. Listen, what is it that God is asking of you? Where has God been directing you? Where is the Holy Spirit prompting you? Where is God leaning in to say, this is what I need you to do. This is a step for you. Because I'll tell you what, oftentimes that blessing, that miracle, that provision typically is on the other side of obedience. God says, here's what I want you to do. Okay, God, I'm in. And then all of a sudden we get to see something remarkable. Simeon and Anna, great example for us. Great example for us of what it looks like to wait well. It's to have an expectant faith in the promises of God. It's to prepare yourself to have some involvement. And it is to obey when the Lord leads. And as a result, they waited on the Lord, and the Lord fulfilled his promises. And they got to see this newborn Savior. They became a part of the Christmas story. In fact, here's Simeon's praise after he meets Jesus. Verse 29. It says, the Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you prepared in the presence of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for the glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Can you imagine for Mary and Joseph? Again, the angel shows up and is like, guess what, Mary? You've never been with a man, but you're going to have a baby. And Joseph's like, well, she's never been with me and she's having a baby. It would have been a weird season for them. And even though the angel comes and says, and I imagine them coming to the temple to present Jesus and having the weird old guy take the baby and like, ah, I love the little babies, pinch his cheeks. Anna, this would have been a confirmation to them. Man, we're imparting something special. This child is miraculous. Look at what is happening. Again, here's our summary for this passage. Here's what I want you to get out of this. It's those who wait on the Lord will not be disappointed. Do you believe that? When you wait on him, you wait on his promises, you wait on him doing what only he can do, you will not be disappointed. Let me ask you today, what is it you are waiting on this Christmas? What is it you are waiting on? Are you waiting on the right things? Are you waiting on God to fulfill his promises to you? Are you expectant that what God says in his word is true? That when he makes these promises to you, that he is faithful to see them to fruition? Are you preparing yourself for the things that God's going to do? Are you actively involved in the process of trying to say, God, you're leading me here, and I'm going to let you strengthen me and make me ready for it? And are you obedient to the things that God is asking you to do? When God says, go, are you willing to go? Because I can't promise you today that today's the day and your wedding's going to be over and everything's going to be happy this week. I can't promise that. But I can tell you this, that when you wait on the Lord, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. Let me wrap this up with this. Simeon and Anna, they're both looking for something. They're waiting for something. They're waiting for a Savior, but they're looking for something different. But the answer for both of them, they're looking for something different, but the answer was still Jesus. I want you to know, whatever it is you're waiting for, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Simeon in verse 25, it says, Simeon was a righteous and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation, this means comfort, relief. Simeon was focused on the comfort and the relief that Jesus would bring. I mean, this is part of what the Christmas story is about, that Jesus brings this comfort, right? The Savior came to live among us, to be with us. I mean, we think about that great Christmas song that we sing, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. God rest you. I'm not going to sing it for you because you'll laugh at me and I'll be really embarrassed. But there's that refrain in there that says, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy. Now, there's a real anticipation of this comfort that Christmas brings to us because the Savior is here. I know there are some of us in this room And that's what we've been waiting for. Comfort. Because this year has been a battle. This year has been a year. There's been loneliness. There's been sickness. There's been frustration. There's been emptiness. There's been insecurity. There's been desperation. And if we're honest, we're quick to seek comfort in the wrong things. We think gifts under the tree, that'll bring all the comfort I need. We think, man, just another relationship, that'll give me the comfort I need. The addiction, that will just numb things to where I'm comforted. Oh, no, I just need to have the appearance that I'm good enough. I'll just have the appearance that I'm okay, and that'll give me the comfort I need. Those things will never satisfy and comfort us the way that we long for. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. See, this Christmas, I want to invite you to receive the comfort that Jesus brings. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort. And he comforts us in our affliction. He comforts us in our depression. He comforts us in our loneliness. He comforts us in our disappointment. He comforts us in our sickness. He comforts us in our suffering. He is the God of all comfort." And I know there are some of us that is what we long for. That's what we're waiting for. We've been waiting for the prodigal to return. We've been waiting for the marriage to be healed. We've been waiting for the job to come. We've been waiting for the relationship that we long for the sickness to be healed. I can't tell you how badly I want you to experience his comfort this Christmas. He is with you. You are not alone. God loves you. God sees you. You are not forgotten. I don't know why you're waiting, and I don't know how long you're going to wait. But I want nothing more than God to give you a fresh sense of his presence in your life, that he's with you, that he loves you. Anna was different. Simeon was looking for comfort. Anna, verse 38, it says, she began giving thanks to God and speaking of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Israel. See, Anna, she looks at this baby, this newborn baby with this patchy hair and his chubby little cheeks. She knows this child is the Savior. This is the Good Shepherd who came not to show us how to live, but to give his life on the cross for us. This is Emmanuel, God in the flesh, the one who left his throne on heaven and chose to come down to the earth, to live the life that none of us could, to live that perfect, righteous, sinful, holy life. And then out of love, out of obedience to the Father, he chose to go to the cross for us. And on that cross, he looked down and he looked at me, and he looked at you, and he looked at every one of us, looked at every one of our failures, every one of your sins, every one of those shameful things that you wish no one else knew that you did, because they bring you such grief and shame. He looked at every one of those things and said, I'm going to take that upon myself. I'm going to pay the penalty for that. And I'm going to exchange and give you my perfect life. I'm going to die in your place so you can be forgiven. And this is what Christmas is about. Born to die so we can live, so we can be redeemed, so we can become a new creation, so we can have this right relationship with God. Listen, I know there are some of us, if we're going to be honest, we're plagued. We're plagued with grief over what we've done. Plagued with grief over how we've lived. We feel trapped in a pattern of sin and we just can't seem to escape. Listen, this Christmas, Jesus came to bring you forgiveness. A second chance, a fourth chance, a 522nd chance. His grace and mercy is new every morning. Thank you. that we can be redeemed, that our hearts can be made new, that we can experience this peace of mind, this peace in our soul. We no longer have to wrestle with, God, I'm such a failure. God, I'm not good enough. But we can sit and say, I'm not, but he is. And because he is, I am new. You see, both Simeon and Anna, they're looking for something different. But Jesus was the answer they were waiting for. So what is it you're waiting for this morning? Can I tell you that Jesus is the answer that you are waiting for? You waiting for comfort? It's found in Jesus. Waiting for forgiveness? It's found in Jesus. Looking for purpose? It's found in Jesus. You're waiting to belong? It's found in Jesus. You need hope for another day, another week? It's found in Jesus. And I don't know about you, but today's the day. Today's the day for you to just drop yourself to the knees and say, God, I need you.